For the purpose of the webcast, it's Wednesday, the 12th of June 2019, and the title for this evening's talk is Keep Your Eyes on the Road. And I'm hoping that the reason for that title, well, I'll tell you why I chose that title, and then you'll see how it fits in a few minutes. But when we were in Romania recently, we were driving through some beautiful mountains and the scenery was stunning. And I was actually driving and the mountain road was going up the mountains, a lot of hairpin bends. And it was one of these three lane roads where when you're going up, you've got priority to overtake. Except I think the Romanians had a fairly flexible interpretation of that rule. So I was driving, just keeping my eyes out for what was going on. And we went around one of these hairpin bends and I had Trevor and Andrea and Lynn with me. And they suddenly went, wow. And I managed to catch a quick view of the panoramic scenery. And it was absolutely beautiful. But of course, I was driving and I had to keep my eyes on the road. And I think my passengers were very glad that I kept my eyes on the road. And in fact, they encouraged me to put my eyes back on the road. So while they were taking in the beautiful view and the scenery, I was sort of focusing on all these hairpin bends, trying to overtake as many lorries as I could. And, you know, I was trying to catch a little glance out of the corner of my eyes at the beautiful view. But of course, my priority as the driver was to keep my eyes on the road. And you know, and the thing is, even when you get to the top and you start coming down the other side, you think you can sort of see the view a bit clearer, but you're still stuck with the hairpin bends and cars overtaking downhill when they shouldn't be. And there's cars overtaking uphill who are allowed to. And, you know, you've just got to be really aware of what was going on. So I didn't get as much opportunity as I would have wanted to look at the beautiful, beautiful countryside. It was absolutely stunning. It was really, really beautiful. But the moment I took my eyes off the road to sort of look at it, you know, somebody in the car would shout and say, Mark, you know, look where you're going. And, you know, of course, I'd bring my eyes back to the road and just keep a lookout where I was going. So you'll see why that's relevant in a few moments. But at the weekend, I got an email from a friend of mine. And I think what she'd done was she'd received one of these, I don't know whether it was a daily or a weekly newsletter, but she'd forwarded on to a number of people. I don't know whether she'd just hit everybody in her contacts or just selected a few of us. But I got this email, I think it was on Saturday. And the subject line of the email was, "You follow me." And I kind of thought, okay, that's interesting. And I thought, I wonder why this friend's forwarded it on. So I read the first sentence of the email. And the moment I read the first sentence, I knew that I needed to read the whole email. The first sentence said this. It said, "Betrayal. One of life's most painful experiences." And that really got me thinking about betrayal and what it is, because I think it's something that affects all of us. And so I just looked it up in the dictionary before the start of the webcast, and it's really about a breach of trust, particularly with someone we maybe know or maybe we love. A breach of trust where where we are exposed, or something is handed over to an enemy. Our hopes have been disappointed by the actions of somebody else. You know, all of that sort of thing is, you know, maybe being deceived, maybe being tricked. But betrayal is very often by somebody we love, by somebody we're close to, by somebody we perhaps know very well. And maybe the betrayal that hurts the most are those occasions when it's people that are close to us, whom perhaps we would least expect it from. So the first sentence of this email was betrayal, one of life's most painful experiences. And so I started to read it, and the verse that the author of the email was referring to was John. Well, actually, it was only really just a phrase in John 21, verse 22. And the context of this is Jesus is meeting with Peter after the resurrection and is having a discussion with Peter. And we know it well. It's the discussion where Jesus says, you know, do you love me? And he says it three times. And Jesus says to Peter, he says, Peter, do you agape me? And Peter's reply is, Lord, you know, I phileo you. You see, Jesus is using that covenantal word for love. But all Peter can do is use the response of brotherly love. And so the first two times Jesus says, you know, Peter, do you love me with that covenantal love? And Peter can't say yes. He can only say, no, Lord, I love you as a brother. And the third time, Jesus brings it down to Peter's level and says, Peter, excuse me, Peter, do you love me as a brother? And Peter says, yes, I love you as a brother. See, this is after the resurrection, and just before Jesus was crucified, Peter denied Jesus. You know, we know that story well. And in a sense, it's a betrayal. You know, Jesus is let down by one of his close friends. He's maybe felt a bit sad by it, maybe a bit disappointed, but Peter couldn't acknowledge publicly in that moment that he knew Jesus. And in one of the gospel accounts, it says that Jesus looked across the courtyard as the cockerel crowed, and he looked at Peter. Now, I really believe that was not a look of judgment. You know, I really believe that was a look of compassion. It was a look of love. It was all of the love that Jesus felt for Peter was being poured out across that courtyard. But Peter obviously feels very desperate, very broken. You know, he knows he's let Jesus down. And so he runs off very sad. After the resurrection, Peter is with the other disciples when they meet Jesus. But they've never had, you know, up until this point when Jesus is on the beach, they've never had a one-to-one conversation about that moment. And there they are on the beach, and Jesus is rehabilitating and reaffirming and I think comforting Peter. And he's facing him up with what has happened. And he says, Peter, I love you. It's okay. You know you let me down, but I love you. And he's trying to draw that response out of Peter. And, you know, Peter probably feels the shame, probably feels the embarrassment, probably feels the, you know, his own disappointment in himself about what's happened. And, you know, he goes through that conversation, and clearly by the end of it, you know, he feels in his heart that something has changed. And, you know, Jesus explains to him that his future, the way he'll face death, is perhaps not going to be very comfortable. And maybe there's going to be a rocky road ahead. But, you know, Jesus just really reinstates him, reaffirms him. And I guess during that conversation, something in Peter's heart would have changed. And he knew, you know, he would have known that it was okay. And the relationship with his best friend Jesus would have been restored. But in the conversation, he looks across, you know, down there they are down by the beach, and he sees John, the Apostle John. John describes himself as the one who leant against the master at the meal, but we know it's John. And Peter looks at John and says, okay, Jesus, you've just told me about me. What about him? And Jesus says, it you know, you don't need to worry about him. You know, what happens to him, and that's a separate story. But then he says these words, you see, he just very simply says, John 21, verse 22, he says, but you follow me. You follow me. And I think, you know, what I was just feeling as I was thinking about this, as I was reading this email about betrayal, is whatever has happened, whatever has gone before, Jesus's words, you follow me, are as important for us today as they were for Peter on that occasion by the beach. You see, I think the thing about betrayal is it's very easy to keep looking at the offence, and we can dwell on the offence, and the more we dwell on the offence or the pain, what that does is it lets the bitterness and the unforgiveness inside of us grow. But Jesus says, don't worry about what's gone behind, but follow me. And it's very easy to look at the betrayal, to look at those occasions where we've been let down, and we focus on those. But I think the words of Jesus that he said to Peter, they are a focus for us as well. You know, you follow me. You know, whatever has happened, whatever has gone on, you can walk away from that by following me. You know, put your eyes upon me and, you know, look where I'm going and follow where I'm going and come with me on the journey. You see, that's why the title, Keep Your Eyes on the Road, is so relevant, because it's easy to make a mistake when you're driving if you don't keep your eyes on the road. And you can lose track of where you're supposed to be going and veer across the road and all that sort of thing. But if you keep your eyes on the road, you're safe, or you're safer. And I particularly, you know, as we're talking about betrayal and being let down and the pain we feel from that. And it's like a bereavement. The words of Jesus, you know, you follow me, are just so important for us, because they take our focus away from the negative act of betrayal, and they allow us to move forward. You see, if we focus on the act of betrayal or the event or the pain we feel, we inevitably begin to look at the person or the individuals who have betrayed us. You know, we look at the betrayers. And in doing so, we then become the judge. And we try to sort of form an opinion of to how right or wrong they were. And that judgment leads us into bitterness and leads us into unforgiveness. And it's very, as I say, it's very, very easy to keep focusing on that. But the words of Jesus are, turn away from that and follow me. You know, look at me. That's not to say we ignore what's happened. It's not to say that the pain of the experience is any less. But it's a decision we want to make to choose not to focus on the negative, but to begin to focus on the lover of our soul who will lead us into life. And as he leads us into life, and as we walk with him, we can begin to walk away from the pain of the betrayal, the pain of being let down, the trauma of perhaps being exposed by someone we trusted, someone we loved. You know, our expectations were dashed, and what we were thinking a relationship was has been ruined by the acts of somebody else. And, you know, we have to accept that these things happen and stuff like that happens, but we don't want to dwell on that. But we want to walk into that place of freedom. And that's where I believe that the words of Jesus are so important. You see, the act of betrayal, the act of disappointment is very, very real. It really does affect us. But my question for us this evening is, what are we going to do with it? You know, are we going to focus on it and then judge and perhaps become bitter? Or are we going to hear those words of Jesus where he says, you follow me? Because that's the way we will be able to walk away from that. We might have to deal with the effects of it. We might have to deal with the consequences of it. But when when our eyes are fixed on him, we can walk into the freedom of being free from the offence. You know, Hebrews 12 verse 2 says, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. You know, Jesus, for the joy, endured the cross and has sat down at the Father's right hand. And it struck me that as we keep our eyes on him, what we're doing is we're looking into the Father's presence, because Jesus has sat down at the right hand of the Father. He is seated in heavenly places. And so as our eyes are fixed on him, what we are doing is we are looking into the Father's presence. We're looking into that place of perfect love, of perfect acceptance. See, I think that's the place that Jesus led Peter to. You know, Peter was probably feeling pretty rubbish after what he'd done. He was probably feeling like, oh, I've let Jesus down. I should have been there for him. But I believe Jesus led him into that place where he could gaze upon perfect love, where he could experience once again perfect love. And as we fix our eyes on Jesus, as we follow him, what we're doing is we're gazing into the Father's presence. And when we gaze into the Father's presence, all we will see is perfect love. Not only will we see perfect love, but we will begin to experience it. And it's that perfect love flowing into our hearts that will begin to deal with the pain or the bereavement or the trauma of these times, these situations where we've been betrayed, where we've been let down. And that's the thing that will bring us healing. That's the thing that will bring us freedom. That's the thing that will prevent us from judging or being critical of other people. But it's the posture that will set our hearts free. So my encouragement is, you know, if you know that you've been betrayed, if you know you've been let down, if you know that you've been exposed, maybe somebody that you trusted something of your heart with, you know, maybe they then shared that with someone else when they shouldn't have done. Maybe, you know, you know, maybe your heart has been exposed when you didn't want it to be exposed. You know, can I just encourage you this evening, or as you watch this webcast, is to take those words of Jesus to heart and follow him, look to him, and as you do, to gaze into the Father's presence and open your heart up to receive love again. I just want to say a little bit of maybe just a few moments about the flip side of the coin, if you like, because very often we are the ones who have been betrayed, we've been let down, but maybe very often we're in Peter's shoes and we are the one who's let somebody else down. Maybe we've let the Lord down. Maybe, you know, we feel like, oh, we've messed up again. And it's just like our heart is feeling a little bit perhaps like Peter's was, you know, kind of sad and a failure, that sense of shame. And, you know, we don't quite know where we stand and so on. And, you know, there are times when, you know, we do mess up and we're, you know, the boot's on the other foot, as it were. And what happens then? I just want to say just a very couple of words, really, because I think it's a place we often find ourselves in. And the feelings of failure, the feelings of shame, they overtake us. And that's the enemy stealing our life away from us. You know, Romans, it says there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Now, you and I are in Christ. And Paul is very clear that when we are in Christ, there is no condemnation. But all too often we feel condemned. We feel the power of shame. And really, I just want to just say a couple of things about that. The first one is Isaiah 30, verse 15. It says, in repentance and rest is your salvation. And that shows us that when we are the betrayer, if you like, when we've let someone down or when we've let the Lord down, we can come to that place of repentance, and in doing so, we find our salvation. You know, in repentance and rest is your salvation. That's the doorway for us to come into freedom. And I think the other thing we can very simply do, and maybe it's easier to say than to actually do, but is to not let the shame overtake us and push us down, but to go back to that place of love. You know, like Jesus said to Peter, "Peter, follow me." You know, maybe if we're in that place of feeling the shame, feeling the sense of being a failure, feeling like we've messed up again, we need to hear those words as well. You know, follow me. And as we hear those words, follow me, that brings us back with our focus back on him, back into the Father's presence, gazing upon the beauty of his presence, finding our safe place in him, finding that he really is our refuge and our strength. And so these words that Jesus said, "You follow me," they're so important, I think, for whichever side of the coin we're on, you know, tonight when we're thinking about this, whether we feel like we've been betrayed or whether we've actually been the one who've betrayed. The words we need to hear are, "You follow me," because that brings us back to the place of love. And we stop looking at the negative, we stop feeding on the negative, we stop being dragged down by the negative, but we allow ourselves to feed on the word of life, feed on living water. That is the thing that will restore us and bring us back to that place where, like Peter, we know it's okay. See, that's what Jesus did with Peter. He brought him to a place where it was okay. And the past didn't matter. It had hurt, it had wounded, but it was over. That's what Jesus is saying. And, you know, he wants to bring us to that place as well, where he can reaffirm us, where he can encourage us, where he can pour his love into our heart. And once again, you and I can know that it's okay. You see, when we are betrayed by someone, it's always unjust, isn't it? And because an injustice has been done to us, what we want to do is we want to try and right the wrong. You know, we want to try and put it right. And, you know, we know that however hard we try, it very rarely happens that we're able to put it right. You know, that very often we put it right out of our own pain, and all that does is create judgments and bitterness. And if we try and put it right in our own strength, we're putting it right in our own strength. You know, it's us. And it is true, it's an injustice. But as we can let go and look forward, it makes him... What we do is, instead of trying to sort out the injustice ourselves, is we begin to trust him. We have faith in him. You know, Jesus says, "You follow me." Like he says to Peter, "Don't worry about John, but you follow me." And it's like Jesus is saying, "I'll take care of that, but you follow me." And I think that's a better way of dealing with it. Rather than trying to right the wrong ourselves, let's let him take care of it. And, you know, deal with it in the way that he wants to, how he wants to, in his time. Not us trying to think, come on, Jesus, come on, Father, what are you doing? You know, have you sorted it out yet? But putting our trust in him and saying, okay, I'm going to follow you. I'm going to walk with you. I'm going to let you lead me, but I'm going to let you sort this out. See, I know from personal experience, sometimes it's hard to do that. It's hard to let go. It's hard to leave the injustice and, you know, almost leave it unrighted. Because something inside of us wants to do that. But very often we're not capable or we're not able of doing it. And Jesus's words are very simple but very powerful. Don't worry about all of that. Just follow me. See, that's putting trust, that's putting our faith in him to deal with it as he sees fit. You see, faith is the substance of the things hoped for that we don't see. You know, what faith does is it pulls our hopes, which are perhaps in the future, it pulls them into the present. And as we put our trust, as we put our faith in him, it's like saying, I'm going to trust you, Father, to deal with this. I'm going to trust you, Jesus, to sort this out. But I'm simply going to walk with you. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to just keep my eyes on you. And however you want to do it, that's up to you. And, you know, faith is an easy word to say, but very often an easy word to live in, a difficult word to live in, because faith means letting go. And we're not very good at letting go. But faith means letting go and letting him do it. And it's easy to say that, but sometimes it's actually very hard to do it, because we'd rather sort things out ourselves. But faith is allowing him to do whatever he wants to do. And we can let it go, but walk on with him. See, when we take our eyes off the road, however beautiful the scenery, we are much more likely to crash. And, you know, that was the thing I was experiencing in Romania, that the scenery was beautiful. But I knew that if I took my eyes off the road, I was much more likely to crash. And it's the same for us in this situation. You know, Jesus says, follow me, fix your eyes on me. You know, let me become the author and the perfecter of your faith. And as long as our eyes are fixed on him, as long as we're following him in this simplicity, I think this picture that we have with this conversation with Jesus and Peter is very, very simple. It's an incredibly simple conversation, but it's amazingly powerful, because through it, what Jesus is doing is he's bringing the right focus back to Peter's whole life. And he's saying, you've got a choice, Peter. You can either stay in your disappointment, in your failure, or you can follow me. The road may not be easy, but follow me. And it's a very, very simple thing. And it's like Jesus says, if you follow me, you're less likely to crash. But when you take your eyes off me, you're more likely to crash. And I think that's so true for us, that if we keep our eyes fixed on him, if we follow him, there's a tremendous safety and security in that. But the moment we take our eyes off him, when we take our eyes off the road, there's a big, big insecurity. And, you know, it's not safe. And we're more likely to crash. And so my encouragement this evening is very, very simple. Is let's keep our eyes on him. Let's follow him. Because as we do so, we're less likely to crash. And I just want to end with one other little point on my journey in Romania. And that was when we came through the mountains and we came down a long straight road into the valley. And it was much easier to see the view because it was spread out before us. And I just feel like there are seasons when we will go through the mountains and the ups and downs of life, but there are also seasons when we are brought into the wide open space. And, life has ups and downs. It has its difficulties and its challenges, but I believe the heart of the Father is to bring us into a wide open space. And my prayer for us, just as we finish, is that we would be brought into that wide open space, that in our hearts, you know, as we've gone through the ups and downs, and maybe, you know, that will take a bit of time, maybe that's a process, but I believe the Father wants to bring us into a wide open space where we are free. And it says, I believe in Micah and also in Job, that when we're brought into that wide open space, he sets before us a table of good things. And that's the heart of the Father for us, is to lead us into freedom, to lead us into a good place where we can enjoy his table of good things. And so I just want to simply pray just for a few moments and just ask the Father to bring us to that place, but also to ask him to help us keep our eyes fixed on him, and that we can be like Peter and respond to that very, very simple but very profound call of you follow me. Don't worry about what's going on around you. I mean, that's easy to say, isn't it? But follow me, because as we follow him, as we keep our eyes on the road, we're less likely to crash. So, Father, thank you. Father, thank you for the simplicity of your word to us. Just the simplicity of following you, of walking with you, fixing our eyes on you. And Father, I pray that just very simply that we would keep our eyes on the road. We would keep our eyes on you. And as we do, we would be protected from crashing. Father, for those of us who've been betrayed, for those of us who've been let down, Father, I just ask that you would comfort us, that you would pour your comfort into our hearts, that the offence of that betrayal, Father, you would begin to deal with in our hearts through the power of your love. The Father, we wouldn't look at that betrayal. We wouldn't look at those things that have offended us. We wouldn't look at the people who have offended us. But we would keep our eyes on you. And as we keep our eyes on you, Father, you would lead us into that place of freedom. Father, for those people who are in that place where they've been let down, where they've been betrayed, Father, would you comfort them? Father, would you restore their soul? And Father, for us all, would you lead us into that wide open space where there is freedom, where there is provision, Father, where there are good things from your hand for us to enjoy. And Father, that wide open space is a place that we can enjoy. And I know sometimes it takes time to get there because of the ups and downs of life, and maybe for many of us, we're stuck in a situation at the moment. But Father, would you lead us through in your time, just as we follow you, that we fix our eyes on you. Father, that we would have that security and safety of being hidden in your secret place. And so, Father, I just simply pray a blessing on my brothers and sisters. A blessing of provision, a blessing of life, a blessing to be released into responding to those words, you follow me. That Father, you would lead us and take us and guide us. And as we gaze upon you, we would be looking into the beauty and the purity of the Father's presence, that would release all of that love once again into our hearts. Father, thank you that you're a good Father. And thank you, Father, that you're loving each one of us right now. And may we go on receiving that and living in it and enjoying it. Amen.